Welcome to another In Wheel Time podcast, a 30-minute mini version of the In Wheel Time car show that airs live every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central. More details. Welcome to the In Wheel Time car talk show. We have the Hemming sold car the price game straight ahead. Jeff has this week's racing calendar, and Mr. Mars has a special feature on ways to start racing on a road course. I can tell you that. Press the accelerator pedal real hard.
Well, we're not talking about Beltway 8.
Oh.
No, that's too straight. We don't want to go around curves fast.
That's right. We want to make left turns and right turns.
Dang. Can we do that?
Absolutely.
Right. Use the car with the broken turn signal. So.
Yeah, that's right. I have a little story I wanted to do. We started off with the Hemmings thing. Well, even after 30 years, after it starred in the most watched car chase in history, the Ford Bronco cannot shake its connection to O.J. Simpson. Simpson, the former NFL star, this is from Automotive News, who was acquitted of killing ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman back in 1994, died Thursday of prostate cancer at the age of 76. Ford Motor Company discontinued the Bronco in 1996 before reviving it in 2020. The automaker accidentally scheduled the new Bronco's unveiling on Simpson's 73rd birthday before discovering the coincidence and postponing the event by a few days.
Oh, boy.
Whoops.
Happy birthday.
On Monday, Ford unveiled a Bronco blackout package to mark the solar eclipse that captivated millions of viewers across North America. Last time a Bronco was involved in an event seen by that many people, Simpson was riding in the back seat of one as police trailed him on a Los Angeles freeway at about 35 miles an hour. We all saw it.
Yeah.
They interrupted the Rockets game. Yeah, that's right. Simpson owned, by the way, the infamous white 1993 Bronco XLT actually belonged to Al Cowlings.
Yeah.
The friend who said Simpson ordered him at gunpoint to drive him to his ex-wife's grave. Simpson owned an identical Bronco given to him by Hertz Corporation while he was working as a spokesman for the rental car company that was then owned by Ford. That was seized by police gathering evidence for his 11-month trial, and that vehicle was later destroyed.
Mm-mm-mm.
The Bronco that transfixed some 95 million TV viewers on June 17, 1994, is now on display at the Alcatraz East Crime Museum in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
I've been there. I've been to Pigeon Forge.
I've been there.
Yeah.
Isn't that where Dolly is? Pigeon Forge?
No.
She's next door in Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. That the car, a truck, also appeared in a 2017 episode of Pawn Stars. A two-door 1993 Bronco had a starting price of $22,272 for the mid-range XLT trim, according to the Michigan Secretary of State's office. That would be about $48,000 in today's dollars. The 2024 Bronco starts at $41,525 with shipping.
Do they come with driving gloves?
I don't know.
Or a gun?
The bloodied one?
Yeah.
Well, I think he used a knife.
That was a knife. Yeah.
And there's people that post stuff online with their Bronco that the license plate says not OJ.
Good. I like
that's
that.
That's cute. Mm-hmm. Cute stuff.
You know, we're talking about prices of cars today. I've been reading a lot of stories that, especially EVs, because they are so expensive. And I say so expensive, it depends on which one, obviously, like all cars. But the sweet spot, this beginning sweet spot for EVs, start about $45,000. Now, you can get one for under 30, but they don't have the range and that sort of stuff.
So. Well, it depends on the tax credits, too. There's still some of those out there with that.
And the tax credits do. Yeah, they're a part of the whole thing. But EVs are stacking up on lots. And I think that people are getting the notion that, like I did, 2.5 hours trying to find a dang public charger. Are you kidding me? One that worked.
That's the new business to start. We'll locate a charger for you.
Well, there
for $19.95 a month.
And you know, as it was pointed out to me by my friend Joe, he said the Tesla will tell you not only where the charger is, but whether it works or not.
Right.
Where the car that I had, not so much. I couldn't even go online and find which chargers work. I could find chargers and where they were on my phone. But one of them took me to an apartment complex not too far from here. Guess what? The gate was locked. You couldn't get in.
Oh, gated community, yeah.
And I'm sure it was only a level 2 charger. I can't wait that long. I need a fast charger. I need a level 3 charger, right? I want to get 80% of charge in 30 minutes. The hose is about that big around, mm-hmm. and it weighs a jillion pounds, but I've got one.
For all that juice going through
in
there.
In Pasadena, took me 30 minutes behind the Chase Bank there on Shaver, on South Shaver and Spencer Highway, close to that intersection. And there were other people back there, and it was a brand new EVgo, which I've got a card for, except the stupid one up here doesn't work.
Now, you need to really tell us how you feel about this.
Yeah, no.
But he's right. I mean, we had a dealership built a new facility here about a year ago, and they added a charging station there. But it's a level 2.
That's not – no. You got a level 2. If you've got an EV, you've got one in your house probably. You had to pay $1,200, $1,500
whatever
to have
case,
it installed.
Yeah. Get it put in,
but
right.
It's like putting it in the dryer socket.
Yeah.
As opposed to the 110 that you have on the outside of the front patio.
For your lamp or whatever.
Yeah. So you don't want that. Because I let that thing charge for 36 hours solid without driving the car. You know how many miles it put on the battery? 30.
Wow.
30 miles. That's how far it is from me to get to work, 30 miles.
And I think the last one I had that I tried to do that with, I looked online at the owner's manual. And it would tell you, you're going to have to be 30, 35, 38 hours to get this much if you're charging it on 110. It's in the book, small print. But they'll tell you that that's exactly what it'll take. They don't tell you that on the advertisements.
Mm-mm-mm.
No thanks. I'm good.
Nope.
And here's a question that I guess hasn't been asked or nobody has written a story about it. So let's just say, for instance, Joe, my friend that has the Tesla, he's got another year to go on the lease. He told me, he says, I'm not buying another one. I love the car, but the charging, the internet network on the freeways and wherever, like he goes to back and forth to San Antonio a lot. It's a total pain. He could make it the entire way, but when he got there, he would have absolutely no charge. And the problem
is, transportation when he's there.
No, the problem is, if he gets stuck at a traffic jam, he's screwed.
Oh, absolutely.
And so he said, I stop. There's a place apparently outside of San Antonio, between Houston and San Antonio, that he stops, and he can get a fast charge there. It doesn't top it off or anything, but he gets enough to get him where he's going so he can plug the thing in. Mm-hmm. He's got a fast charging station where he goes in San Antonio. But why do you have to do that? With the gasoline car? I can go right down here to the 7-Eleven, fill it up, 5 minutes. If I got to go to the bathroom or I want a Coke or whatever, it's there. 5 minutes, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm done.
Yeah. And the other thing is, every unleaded pump will fit into my truck. No matter what station it is, all
you don't need a special nozzle, do you?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Hemmings sold cars roundup.
We got a scorecard?
You got to have a score.
I'll let you keep the score.
All right.
So I give the boys the car, and they guess how much it sold for on Hemmings' weekly sold cars roundup. Now, preface this by saying, most of the cars look great. You don't know the rust factor. You don't know how many miles it's got on it. I could dig down into it, but I don't want to belabor all of this. Let's just go and have some fun with a 1981 Cadillac Coupe de Ville.
Coupe. Starting off with Jeff's car here.
Yes. 81? I actually owned one. It was a little bit older, but it's the same body style. I love that car. This is an 81 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. What did it sell for?
$12,000.
$12,000?
I'm going for $8,000.
$8,000? Well, let's split the difference. It went for $10,000.
Ah. Well, nobody got that one.
Okay.
Well, you're closer. We'll give that one to you.
Maybe the only one I get.
Here's an odd one. While we're speaking of Cadillacs.
Oh.
A 1975 Cadillac.
Oh.
So 6 years younger than the one sold for $10, $10,000. A 75 Cadillac Coupe de Ville. How much did that sell for?
I'm going to go $12,000.
No, I'm going to stay down around my eight. Because that was some serious
$30,975. It's probably one of those, you know, little old Florida couple that drove it back and forth to church and the grocery store.
Blue
and
velour, it. All puffy that, seats.
That's what I would guess. But a 75, oh, yeah. It looks brand new.
Yeah, I would drive it.
$30,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Here's one for everybody that we can all relate to. Remember the black and silver 1987 Chevy Suburban? Somebody on your block or neighborhood had mm-hmm, one. Mm-hmm. 87 Chevy Suburban. It looks like it came off the showroom floor. Now, again, I don't know the condition of the chassis or any rust or how many miles it's got on it. It looks good. How much?
I'll go 18 on that one.
18.
I'll go
nostalgic.
I'll go 14.
How about $7,850?
Wow.
There's the one for Kylie right there.
Yeah.
Because, by golly, you it see. May be a gas swiller, but if
she listen, can hit 20 cars and still keep going.
Absolutely. Or they could hit that.
Yeah,
20 times.
She's 5 foot nothing.
I know that.
She's a tiny girl.
I know that.
Well, you can find an old Houston Yellow Pages and put it in the seat and kind of help her get up.
All right. Now we're going to move into the good stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
My car.
My turn.
Ready?
Mm-hmm.
A 1963 Chevrolet Corvette split window coupe.
Oh, boom. Lord.
How much did a 63 Chevrolet Corvette, red in color, looks like it's got the hubcaps on it and the white wall tires.
You want the price in 63 or today's price?
No, what it sold for.
Man, I mean, there's so many variables. Big block, tank car, whatever.
Well, it's not a tank car. They didn't build many tank cars. I knew a guy that actually had one.
Yeah, I'm good.
It was all original, too, and it was worth a fortune. And this was back in the 80s.
Yeah. Wait, I'm going to go 64.
It's coming into me.
64,000?
Coming into me. $70,000.
And you said?
64.
How about $137,550?
There's something
about
that
car. Well, you didn't
say
that.
There's something. Well, it's block, four-speed something.
Yeah. I don't know, but it's probably body off, total restoration. Yeah. That'd be my guess. All right. Here's one. A 1961 Chevrolet Impala.
Okay.
Impala.
That I'm going to tell you right now.
Low
that,
rider.
Well, it has been lowered, and it's got some great big huge wheels on it. It's got a beautiful burgundy paint job on it and a gray roof. It looks real good.
No etching or anything?
I can't see that.
Okay.
It's got the actual beautiful chrome detail down the side of it.
$34,000, mm-hmm. And that's my last offer.
A 61 Chevy Impala, two-door.
Man, is that the bubble top?
Didn't say, doesn't know.
61. Yeah,
it's about, No. That's okay.
Bubble top.
I know, I'm with you. I'm going to say 24.
24. How about $120,750? Here you go.
No, thanks.
It's a little steep.
It's a low rider.
Yeah, but it's a bubble, and it's got wheels, and it's got lots of stuff.
Now, here's
on
one for Kylie. 2001 Ford Mustang Bullitt.
Ah! 2001 Bullitt. That'd be a car for Kathy. She'd want that one.
Yeah. Green or black?
It's black. Now, if I'm going to buy the Bullitt, I'm going to have the green one.
Yeah.
I'll let you go first on this one. You're a Mustang guy.
Well, I didn't say what number it is.
No.
The number on it makes a lot of difference.
Let me put it this way. As I said before, I don't know any of the details.
Okay.
You can go online at Hemmings Sold Cars Roundup, click on the car, and it has all the details and all that on it. We ain't doing that.
22,000.
22. What'd you say, Jeff?
25.
This was $16,275.
Good at it.
It
today.
Looks like it is. It's seen
better days.
So, yeah. Well, I don't know about that, but it's seen some usage. How's that?
Well, it's black, usage. Not green.
Here's one. This is when I was working at the Chevrolet dealership. A 1970 Chevy Monte Carlo, and I want to tell you something. When that thing rolled into the dealership, everybody came out to look.
Single
at
headlight.
It. Oh yeah.
Okay, because when later on they went to the double square.
Yeah, no. This is 1970 Chevy Monte Carlo. I think this is the first year, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They made an SS out of it, I think in 71 with a 454.
$7,800.
$7,800?
No. $16,000.
$16,000? $19,950.
Okay, we'll give you that one, Mike.
All right.
And you know, if that car is clean and hasn't been wrecked and, you know, been taken care of, that'd be a deal.
Oh, yeah. Driven around at Richardson Chevrolet.
Yeah, let the back tires burn off of it. Now, for you people that really like the classics, a 1914 Buick. I'm my personal feeling, I'm not into that era of cars. I know people that are.
1914 Buick.
Yeah, 1914 Buick.
Does it have a tow package on it, maybe?
It doesn't have a tow package. It may be, never, I'm not even going to go there. A 1914 Buick. It's maroon in color. I don't know whether that's a stock.
It's got a body on it?
It's got a body on it. And it has, yeah. Here, I'll show you the car. I'm not going to show you the price. See the car?
Oh,
yeah.
Darn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. They're all convertibles back then. Yeah. 1914 Buick. How much would that sell?
$31,000.
$31,000?
Yeah. It's a parade car.
I was thinking $25,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about $10,350?
Oh, man. That is for Kylie.
There you go. So
here's one. Here's the one for Kylie.
Okay.
And this would be a statement when she drove into the school parking lot.
Oh, yes.
A 1949
all right.
Ford Custom. It looks like it rolled right off the showroom floor. Mm-hmm. Dark navy blue in color, two-door, a 49 Ford Custom. I'm sure that's got a six-cylinder engine in it. It's got that bullet-looking thing in the middle of the grill. Remember those?
Yeah.
Bullet-looking thing?
Yeah.
It's clean-looking.
But my aunt had one of those.
1949 Ford Custom.
$21,000.
No, I'm going to drop down about $12,000.
How about $18,900? Now, here's something that I had to throw in here because I would buy this. I would buy this. And I may even trade the Corvette for this.
Uh-oh.
Or sell the Corvette to be able to get this one. A 1927 Ford Model T, a custom roadster. So I'll show you the picture of it. It's yellow. It's got a V8 engine in it with header pipes down the side. You know, it's cool. I'm not going to show you the sold price, but there it is. It's a hot rod.
Yeah, yeah.
And that would be fun. So I guess I don't know whether it's got a back seat or not, but whatever. It's got big, big fat tires.
Doesn't say
on
if
the back.
It's fiberglass or metal. Doesn't really matter.
$42,000. I'll go 32.
How about 24,938?
What?
Ka-ching.
I'm thinking
that it probably is a fiberglass body. I don't care.
Well, it doesn't have a top on it.
Well, I don't know.
No, it doesn't have a top.
It's a roadster, but you know, the way they make fiberglass these days, those fiberglass bodies,
you can't tell.
You can't tell unless you really pound it.
And it's lighter.
Not that I can do it, but I'd like to have just seal the doors up and I just hop in. One of those kind. It's not that. It looks like it's got doors on it.
Yeah. Until you throw your back out the first time and then.
Exactly.
Or you miss.
Again.
And then you straddle the door car. Frame.
Now, here is god-awful green.
I'll probably get this one.
A 1938 Ford two-door coupe. It's a custom. It's,
Oh, I like it. Yeah.
I'm not a big fan.
It's got Krager wheels on it, so it's probably got a V8.
No, it doesn't have Kragers on it. It's got some custom wheels on it.
Whatever. Five spokes, whatever.
Yeah.
ETs.
It's a hot rod, though. It's
a hot rod. Okay. 38 Ford hot rod. How much?
24.
18.
29.4. Yeah. But boy, I'll tell you what. That hot rod, that yellow hot rod.
Yeah, the 27. I'm not a big fan of 27s, but that one looked good.
I don't care.
I need a top on it.
Yeah, I know.
No.
Drive it in the rain.
The 27's got a little different trunk curve on it. What if you look at some
wait
of
a
them.
Minute. Wait a minute. Let's back this up. He's the guy that doesn't like sunroofs, likes cloth interior, doesn't like convertibles, and he's going to get a roadster?
That's what he said.
I like the car.
He didn't say he's going to drive it.
Well, I don't drive the one that I've got.
Yeah, you do. You drive it. You drive that.
The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show is available 24/7 through the iHeartRadio app. Look for In Wheel Time Car Talk and podcasts at your fingertips from your favorite podcast provider. We also video stream our 3-hour weekly show on Facebook, YouTube, inwheeltime.com. The In Wheel Time Car Talk Show continues right after this quick break.
Pro-Am Auto Accessories has been serving Houston's auto enthusiasts since 1984, providing world-class products for sports cars, European sedans, and American muscle. Pro-Am is known as the place to go to find exclusive and hard-to-find parts and accessories. Pro-Am is one of the very first distributors in the USA for brands such as Recaro, Redline, Momo, Corbo, and Simpson. Located in the heart of Houston's premier retail and service corridor, the Galleria area, Pro-Am's walk-in storefront includes an 8,000-square-foot warehouse, showroom, and installation bays. Pro-Am not only sells parts and accessories, but also offers installation and service. Pro-Am is now reaching a worldwide audience through Pro-Am.com, taking its local reputation to the rest of the world. At Pro-Am Auto, you'll be dealing with a small group of professionals who truly want to help you with your automotive needs. If you don't see what you're looking for on the website, call and Pro-Am will lend you a hand. Pro-Am Auto, 6125 Richmond at Green Ridge in Houston's Galleria area. Call them at 713-781-7755. Want to feel good about something special you did for someone special? In Real Time and the original Loopy Tortilla group of Tex-Mex restaurants have joined together to help a very worthy cause, God's Garage, a Christian-based 501c3 charity. We know there are lots of places and organizations out there where you can donate a car, truck, or SUV, but we're asking you, our car enthusiast family, to consider donating to God's Garage. Visit godsgarage.org and learn about its mission, the women that have been helped, how each one is screened, and about their Restore You program. A car donation is an easy way to make a difference in the lives of others. God's Garage needs good operating vehicles, but will take all types in working and non-working condition. Make your heart and soul feel good by donating your gently used vehicle and help support single mothers, widows, and wives of deployed military at godsgarage.org.
And now, Jeff Zekin has some special information on Keels and Wheels.
We're back to the 28th annual Keels and Wheels. It's a big event. We will be there. It's going to be fun. Hopefully the weather will be great. A little bit of prediction going on. I'm sure it's going to be fine. Tickets are available in advance through the website, which is www.keels-wheels.com. Michael, $40 at the gate. $15 for students. Children under 12 are free. Free parking, and they've got shuttles from the parking area to the event.
Free
parking. You've got Creative Classic Customs will be there. You've got Mobley Performance will be there. You got 60 years of Mustangs, 60 years of Donzi boats. You got Resto Mods. You've got antique and classic motorcycles from the Hill Country Motorhead Motorcycle
and
Museum.
And all of this in the setting of the Lakewood Yacht Club.
Gorgeous.
Right there in Seabrook. Yep. And we invite you to go. We're going to be there. We're going to be 8 to 11. What are we going to do?
Well, they don't open the gate till 10, so I thought we might go 10 to 1.
10 to 1.
10 to 1. That'd be good.
And you know what?
I'm sure there's going to be plenty of food and beverages there.
Yes.
So help yourself.
That's in 3 weeks, right?
Yep.
3 weeks?
Yes, well, right after the Hot Rod Tour.
So we're going to do the Hot Rod Tour, and then we're going to do Keels and Wheels. That ought to be lots of fun. All right, time now for the racing calendar, Jeffrey.
I've got it right here. You got NHRA this weekend.
Oh, by the way, the racing calendar is sponsored by Texas Muscle Car Club Challenge.
Yes, and thank you for that. We appreciate it. You've got today is the NHRA 4-Wide Nationals in Las Vegas, Nevada. Mm-hmm. It's 7 p.m. on FS1. It's going to be a rebroadcast. We all know that, and that's tomorrow. I talked to Gary Emmons yesterday, and they're not going to be there, but that's fine. They're going to be thoughts and all that for it. You got NASCAR. Trucks were last night. You've got the Xfinity today, and then you got the big boys tomorrow. Everybody's at Texas Motor Speedway. Tomorrow's race comes on at 3 p.m., and it's going to be on FS1 again. Mike, tickets are still available if you want to go. Just a short drive up there from Niederville. You've got Formula One going on next week. They do their Tuesday through weekend event. You've got a lot of time trials. And
where is that going to be?
That is going. You know, I do have that. Let me flip the page here. It's going to be on a racetrack. And it's going to be in Shanghai.
Shanghai. I've gotten Shanghai.
Yeah, you've gotten Shanghai.
It's that Northern California.
I'm going to wash that man right out of my hair.
It's going to be Lenovo Chinese Grand Prix. That's what it's called.
All right.
So there you go.
All right. Mr. Martins has a special feature now on ways to start racing on a road course.
Speaking of that, we're going to segue into that because a lot of times people, you know, boys in particular grow up. Girls do too, some, but everybody thinks about being a race car driver when you're growing up. Mm-hmm. Well, you get a little bit older, you start trying to figure out really how to do it. We'll talk about drag racing next week, but a road course, if you want to go road racing, like the Road Course of America or COTA, you want to go race someplace like that, and that kind of racing, where do you start?
Yeah, well, that's not there.
No, but one of the easiest places to start is with an autocross. Now, if you're not familiar with autocross, a lot of places, little car clubs, will set up in a parking lot, mm-hmm. and they'll set out cones that you can run through by yourself. It's not door-to-door racing or anything, and it's timed. And you just basically race against yourself, or you may be in a ladder of events. And if you're not familiar with any of the terms, and if you're a little nervous about going out there cold and never seen it, then you can go to the Sports Car Club of America.
Yeah, SCCA.
Yeah. They have got a section in there about autocrossing that you can actually go into and get familiar with the terminology of what you're getting to. So when somebody starts talking to you about getting your car registered or classifications or modifications, things like that, you'll have an idea of what they're talking about. And they also have, there's actually some classes you can sign up for about autocrossing. They'll take you through the whole process. Mm-hmm. And because they do have some sanctioned autocross events that are bigger, a lot of people are actually build cars for that.
Yes.
And but if you're really just looking to get started in it, then you find your local club, and you can go out there and practice and try it out in a parking lot
I will tell you that back when I had the original Corvette, the 77, about 1979 or so, the Corvette Club that I was in at the time, they had an autocross set up at the old Budweiser Brewery in the parking lot of the Budweiser Brewery. And it was across the street from the brewery. And it was all wide open. They didn't have any of the bump stops in there or anything like that. It was all coned off.
Right.
And it was a first gear race. So it was real fast.
Right.
But lots of tight turns, back and forth and that sort of stuff. And the goal was... And I'd never done it before in my life. So I got a guy, Bob Fitch was his name, and he had a car set up for this. And lucky me, I asked him, I said, would you please show me how to do this? And he said, yes, I will. He said, but you're going to drive it. I said, okay, well, why don't I ride with you first, Bob? He says, okay. So we got in his car. Obviously, his car was set up to and he showed me the fine aspects of doing it with this back and forth. You never cross your arms; it's all back and forth. But the nuances of doing it autocross, and then he says, "Okay, now let's get in your car. You get behind your wheel, and I will guide you through it." And so he helped me, and it was a great learning experience. It was a no pressure deal. Every car that went on there was time, so you could tell whether or not you were gaining on your better times throughout
the
day.
Improving,
and I did, and it was a lot of fun. It was a full day event. We had sandwiches and soft drinks and stuff like that. But what a great way to get exposed to something like that.
Yeah, it's a great learning experience. You don't if you mess up and you hit a cone, well, it's no big deal. You're not generally not going to dent your car or anything with something like that. And it's not that expensive. Generally, $25-$50 a day, depending on where it is and how involved it is. And you'll generally see some cars that are prepped. Some of the guys that have taken their, for example, a Miata, and they've gone and they've changed the tires on it, and they've actually done some work to it. And so you can kind of see where things are progressing to as you're trying to learn how to get involved into this.
Yeah, it's tons of fun. Yep. I would encourage anybody to do it. And you could actually do it with your mom's Buick Skylark if that's what you want.
If she'll let you take it.
Yeah.
You got permission for that.
And then there's a few places like down in Alvin and up in San Marcos
Houston
where you can
Motor
actually
Sports
get up
Park.
Onto a track.
Absolutely.
And so there's lots of opportunity to get started and learn how to do these things.
Gotcha. Great. Hey, if you'd like to get in touch with us, shoot us an email. The address is info@inwheeltime.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook. We're back in just a flash.
The original group of Loopy Tortilla Restaurants will have you telling your family and friends just what the original recipes mean when it comes to the best fajitas in Southeast Texas. Founder Stan Holt invites you to visit the original Loopy Tortilla near I-10 and Highway 6. Here's the original house that inspired the design of all the rest and the original charm that helped make Loopy Tortilla the go-to destination for Houston Tex-Mex. Speaking of original, nothing can compete with the original lime pepper marinade that everyone will agree makes Loopy Tortilla award-winning beef fajitas the best anywhere. Loopy Tortilla Katy is another location that gives you the same quality and service Houstonians have come to expect at Loopy's. It's located just off I-10 of the Grand Parkway at Kingsland Boulevard in Katy. Find yourself in Aggieland? Head to the Loopy Tortilla in College Station, located just around the corner from Kyle Field. It's a great place to enjoy those famous frozen margaritas before or after the game. Headed east to Louisiana? Stop in at the Loopy Tortilla in Beaumont. It twos on I-10. You can't miss it. The original group of Loopy Tortilla restaurants invite you in for the best Tex-Mex anywhere. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is having another car social Saturday morning, May 18th from 8 to 11. It's a car cruise-in like no other. Expect Ferraris, Lamborghinis, Corvettes, and the featured brand Porsche. Get social at this special cruise-in event. You'll also see Gulf Coast Auto Shield's private workshop and learn about their many products and services. Questions are welcomed. Gulf Coast Auto Shield is easy to get to at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway near West Airport Boulevard, just south of the Southwest Freeway. The car social featuring Porsche takes place Saturday morning, May 18th from 8 to 11. Tell your friends, and no matter what car you have, bring it and enjoy this rare opportunity to see some of Houston's finest rides. In Wheel Time, we'll bring its car talk show there too, so join us for another car social at Gulf Coast Auto Shield Saturday morning, May 18th, 8 to 11 at 11275 South Sam Houston Tollway, just south of the Southwest Freeway. Visit gcautoshield.com to see the show flyer for more details. That's it for this podcast episode of the In Wheel Time Car Show. I'm Don Armstrong, inviting you to join us for our live show every Saturday morning, 8 to 11 a.m. Central on Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, and our InWheelTime.com website. Podcasts are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Podcast, Podcast Addict, TuneIn, Pandora, and Amazon Music. Keep listening, and we'll see you soon.